Chapter 30. Sacrifice. He thrashed wildly, fighting desperately against the giant fingers dragging him down. The breath was squeezed from him, and he fought against the impulse to suck a mouthful of water into his lungs. The light began to fade as he was pulled deeper. He stared up with bulging eyes at the surface of the lake receding into the distance, knowing this was the end. He had pushed his luck as far as it would go. He thought of Sasha, wondered briefly if she would shed a tear for him. He thought of Jerick, saw that bastard's sneering face, and was filled with anger. The rage gave him renewed strength. He pushed at one of the giant watery fingers, but it was like trying to shove back against a wave.
"The dagger, child,"
boomed a familiar voice inside his skull. The fog in his air-deprived brain suddenly lifted, and clarity filled him. He reached down to his belt, drew Magebane, and with a monumental effort plunged it into the giant finger wrapped around his chest. A colossal shriek reverberated through the lake, and the grip loosened, just enough for him to wriggle free. He stared up at the surface, his momentary elation instantly dulled by the impossible distance there was left to swim. Still he tried, driving himself up through the water, his lungs screaming. He was a killer and a whoreson, and cursed with the worst fortune of any man alive. But if there was one thing Davaris Cole knew how to do, it was swim. Swim, and make love to beautiful women. And drink. There was no man who could outdrink him, that was a fact. "I'll drink this whole fucking lake," he thought, maniacally, blinding flashes of colour exploding behind his skull. The rational part of his mind knew it would be fatal to open his mouth and swallow, and so he kept on kicking, kept on fighting, just like he'd fought his whole life. Memories of the swell came back to him. He'd almost drowned then, twice. Almost, but not quite. He'd almost died that night in Dorminia, when his mentor had plunged a poison-coated dagger into his stomach. That hadn't killed him either. Korvac and his men had tried to break Cole in the Blight, violated him and called him their bitch, and in the end, he'd killed them all. He was halfway to the surface now. The agony was excruciating. Every second seemed to last a lifetime. He must surely breathe in water at any moment, take in a lungful of the lake, and sink like a turd to the bottom where he belonged, where the world seemed to think he belonged, always under the heel. "Fuck you," he thought wildly. "I'm Davaris Cole. I'm no one's joke." And so he fought on, every muscle screaming. The window of light above grew larger, but within Cole the darkness expanded. He was no longer sure if his legs still kicked. He hardly cared now. Everything seemed so distant. His eyes closed, or maybe he just stopped seeing. Finally, he could resist no longer. His mouth burst open, and he inhaled, a mighty gulp. He became vaguely aware that he was lying on his back. Someone was pumping his chest. Water vomited out of his mouth, no end to it, rushing up his throat and bursting from him in great splashes. How did that get there? He wondered. He couldn't remember swallowing any water.
"How long was he under?"
someone asked, her voice shrill with panic. Sasha, he realised.
3, maybe 4 minutes. I ain't ever seen anything like it. Thought he must be a goner for sure."
Cole opened his eyes and stared up into the bearded face of Brodar Kane, scarred, world-weary, and at that moment the most welcome sight imaginable.
"Welcome back, lad," said the old barbarian. "That was a close thing, and no mistake." "You was babbling all kinds of shit," said a gruff voice behind Kane.
Jerick appeared, his dark eyes fixed on Cole.
"Telling the world to go fuck itself."
He almost sounded approving. Cole felt a cool hand squeeze his arm. He turned to see Sasha kneeling beside him, tears bright in her eyes.
"I thought we'd lost you,"
she said, leaning forward to kiss him on the cheek. That small gesture filled him with strength. He sat up and took a shuddering breath.
"What happened?"
he asked, Isaac frowned at the lake.
I believe you disturbed the resting place of a divine entity. There were 13 primes, but dozens of lesser gods. Given the nature of this lake, perhaps it was Omer, Lord of Foresight.
Don't ask me how, but you made it back to the surface, Cain added. I pulled you out just in time.
Why did it attack me? Cole asked. But deep down, he knew. He was targeted because of the godly essence residing within him. Magebane lay beside him, gleaming wetly. His salvation and his curse.
You certainly got a habit of finding yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time, said Brodar Kane brightly.
The old barbarian reached out a grizzled hand and pulled Cole to his feet.
We best be moving on, he said, before this dead god gets any more ideas.
I'll catch up, said Cole. Give me a moment.
Sasha hung back, intending to wait for him, but he gestured at her to join the others. He approached the lake, stared down into the depths. He reached down, carefully undid his breeches.
Omer, is it? Thanks for the exercise. I needed that. Here's a little something for you.
He pulled out his cock and took the most satisfying piss of his life. The following day, they reached the outskirts of the Devil's Spine. They encountered no more demons, although the rotting corpses of wolves and bears and other animals that had made their homes in the mountains were strewn throughout the rising foothills. Some bore wounds inflicted by demons, obviously the cause of their deaths. Others showed signs of starvation. The land was silent and oppressed, the birdsong notable for its absence. Davaros Cole stared up at the monstrous peaks in the distance and felt his heart sink.
We have to climb those, he said in frustration. Maybe we should have waited for the Seeker.
Brodar Kane came to stand beside Cole. He seemed to be limping a little, but was making an effort to disguise it. Cole heard the old warrior's heart thumping in his chest and felt guilty for complaining.
I could use a rest, he announced,
more for Kane's benefit than his own. He was, after all, 30 years the man's junior.
Kane bent down and rubbed his knees. Getting stiff in my old age, he grumbled.
Old age, echoed Isaac.
The Fade stared up at the Devil's Spine.
My kind will never know the curse of growing old. I fear there are those among us who sometimes forget what you must suffer.
The White Lady's handmaiden met the Fade's alien gaze with eyes as dead as old bone.
Immortality is not without its own drawbacks.
Perhaps for those who have stolen it, replied Isaac. Humans are born to die. Only the gods were meant to last forever. The gods and the Fade.
A few minutes later, they set off again. They climbed barren hills, skulking under the shadow of the gargantuan mountains in the distance, the land rising all the time.
The Devil's Spine, mused Cole.
He kicked a stone, and it clattered down the side of the hill, making a fair racket. Jerick shot him a glare, but Cole ignored the bad-tempered warrior.
What's a devil, anyway?
In the time before, the devil was the embodiment of sin, Isaac said.
Was he real? Cole asked.
He found Isaac a lot less annoying when the Fade wasn't trying to impress everyone with his endless array of talents. Isaac shrugged.
My ancestors considered him a metaphorical construction. Perhaps they simply needed more faith. Perhaps the devil was behind the events that brought the end upon us.
Jerick snorted at that.
A man takes responsibility for his own fuck-ups, the wolf growled. He don't go around laying the blame on others.
Isaac fell silent, apparently lost in thought. As they were passing under a particularly high ridge, Sasha spotted something above them.
There's a cave entrance up there, she said, pointing.
Jerick sniffed.
I can smell smoke, he rasped. Some fucker's cooking.
they began to notice small objects on the ground. Cole reached down and scooped up what appeared to be a finger bone. There was death in the air. He could sense it.
"Reckon we ought to check that out," the wolf growled.
He glanced around, searching for a way up to the cave entrance. The White Lady's handmaiden suddenly leaped up onto the rock face and began scaling the nearly sheer wall. In moments, she had reached the narrow ledge just before the cave. She ghosted inside, disappearing from sight. Cole eyed the rock face speculatively. There were tiny gaps in the wall, enough to get a foothold, perhaps. He cracked his fingers and turned to the others.
"I don't know about you lot, but I'm in no mood to wait around," he said.
Sasha shook her head, but he ignored her. He braced himself and began to climb, using every inch of purchase on the wall to haul himself up. Around 2/3 of the way, he thought his impulsiveness might have got the better of him, but as luck would have it, he spotted a handhold just in time. He grabbed hold of it, almost slipping, and dragged himself over the ledge. Then he stood there, breathing hard, and stared out over the foothills. He glanced down at the others, unable to keep the triumphant grin from his face.
"Who's next?"
he mouthed down at them. He doubted any of his remaining companions could manage the climb, except for Isaac.
"Prick," Jerick muttered.
The wolf spat and set off for an alternative route, Kane and the others following behind. Cole felt a little guilty at flaunting his youth and athleticism in front of the kindly old warrior, but he was tired of people underestimating him. He turned and entered the cave. The smoke grew thicker as he padded silently through the winding tunnel. Suddenly, a hand reached out and grasped his shoulder, and he almost jumped out of his skin. He had thought himself a master of the stealthy arts, but somehow he had wandered right by the unborn without seeing the creature. She raised a porcelain finger to her bloodless lips and pointed at the spectacle ahead of them. It might have been Cole's imagination, but he thought he glimpsed disquiet in her dead eyes. 6 robed and cowled figures were standing around a huge cauldron that rested upon a burning woodpile trailing thick smoke. The men were whispering in a strange tongue Cole did not recognise. As he crept closer, he saw that beyond the cauldron were several large cages packed with men, women, and children. When he saw the human bones piled near the cauldron, and the sickly sweet scent of burning flesh reached his nostrils, Cole suddenly understood exactly what the men, the cultists, were cooking. Fury filled him. Cole charged at the nearest cultist and plunged Magebane into the man's back. Feeling vitality flood him, he shoved the body away and it fell face first into the cauldron. Boiling water splashed out, scalding Cole, but he ignored the pain and turned to the next cultist. The man's hood slipped off to reveal an ancient face covered in grime, a filthy grey beard tangled with twigs and leaves. He muttered something, and Cole was lifted into the air and flung backwards by an unseen force. He struck the floor painfully, staring at Magebane in disbelief. For some reason, the dagger had failed to protect him from the cultist's magic. There was a blur of white, and the unborn leaped upon the cultist's back, wrenching his wrinkled head almost clean off as she twisted the man's neck with a loud snap. That left 4 remaining cultists. 3 began chanting in a strange language, while the 4th darted towards Cole, a pair of tongs glowing red in his age-spotted hands. Cole kicked out, knocking the man's legs out from under him. He planted his palms on the floor and sprang up, tossing Magebane through the air to strike another cultist dead in the throat. There was an ominous rumble, and 2 massive figures suddenly detached from the cave wall, hulking giants made of stone. The remaining cultists fell back behind their conjured guardians. Cole wrenched Magebane free of the neck of the man he'd just killed. The cultist's life force flooded into him. The Reaver's voice boomed in his skull. The world turned red.
"Kill them! Kill them all, child!"
The Reaver snarled and sprang at the monster blocking his path. It reached towards him, swinging its arm like a club, and he danced around it,
brought Magebane scraping down its huge back in an explosion of stone that did little to slow the creature. The White Lady's handmaiden leaped at the other giant, but she was swatted aside, striking the wall hard enough to snap one of her arms. The Reaver attacked the stone giant with renewed fury, but it was like trying to fell a tree with a twig. A loud bang echoed through the cave. Suddenly, half the monster's body crumbled beneath it. It sagged forward, swinging its arms wildly. The Reaver rolled under the giant's club-like fists, setting his sights on the two cultists cowering at the rear of the cave. They were chanting, working another spell, but all the Reaver could focus on was the delicious sound of their hearts pumping blood around their bodies. He drove the dagger into the stomach of one of the cultists, exulting in the flood of warmth that filled him. The other cultist finished chanting, and before the Reaver could reach the man, he was restrained by some invisible force. He twisted left and right, trying to free himself, but he was held tight. One of the stone giants fell apart, exploding into rubble. The other was slowly being dismantled by a tall immortal with a crystal sword and a bald, flint-eyed warrior wielding a pair of axes. The tiny part of his consciousness that was Cole knew them to be friends, or at least allies, but all the Reaver saw was fresh prey.
"Kill! Kill them all!"
A woman appeared, one hand outstretched. Lightning sizzled from her fingers and struck the final combatant, blowing a gaping hole in his chest. He collapsed, stone dead, and suddenly the Reaver was free. He flowed towards the sorceress, shadows trailing in his wake.
"Rana!"
shouted another woman in warning, her voice familiar. The sorceress turned and noticed him. She pointed, tried to work some spell, but the dagger grew warm in his palm and absorbed her magic. The Reaver grinned savagely. He was death, and he would not be denied. Suddenly, the bald warrior with the twin axes was in his path. The Reaver snarled and stabbed out, faster than any man could hope to follow, aiming for the heart. His dagger was somehow battered aside. That scarred face slammed into his, headbutting him full in the nose. He heard a crunching sound and reeled back, blood spraying everywhere. Strong arms grabbed him, locking his hands behind him. He hissed and kicked out, and threw back his head in rage, but whomever had hold of him refused to be shaken off.
"Easy, lad, I got you."
A familiar face bled into view, dark eyes wide with concern.
"Cole," she said desperately. "Cole, it's me. What's wrong with you?"
"Sasha." Hearing the name of the woman he loved brought Cole back to himself in an instant. He sagged in Brode Arcane's arms, guilt and shame flooding him. Jerick stalked over to the sole surviving cultist, who was cowering on the floor. The wolf bent down and pulled back the man's hood. It was another old fellow, beard caked with mud, broken veins like tiny purple worms beneath the flesh of his bulbous nose. The wolf hauled him up and dragged him over to the cauldron.
"Why?"
Jerick snarled, gesturing at the prisoners trapped in the cages. They were half naked and half starved, faces staring out in abject terror.
"The voice in the valley,"
the elderly man said, his voice as crackly as dried leaves.
"It came to us. It whispered to us."
"These men are Voronyi," Cain said. "What the hell they doing cooking innocents?"
He released his grip on Cole and went to try the cages. They were locked.
"Here,"
said Isaac. The Fade had recovered a large iron key from one of the fallen cultists. He tossed it at Cain, who almost fumbled it, his hands trembling a little. Sasha moved to comfort Cole, but he flinched away. This time it was Sasha's turn to look wounded. "Please don't touch me," Cole thought bitterly. "I'm a monster." Cain unlocked the first of the cages and helped out a couple of children.
"You're safe now," he said gently. "What happened here?"
The eldest child pointed a shaking finger at the cultist Jerick was currently holding over the cauldron. The muscles in the wolf's arm were knotted with the strain.
The demons took us from our homes,
he said, his voice trembling.
They brought us here, and then the wise men...
He trailed off, the horror on his face telling its own story.
The herald corrupted them,
Isaac announced, staring at the corpses of the Voronyi.
It made dark promises to these men in order to win them to its master's cause. The sacrifice of these innocents helped open the door for more demons to cross over.
What did it promise you?
Rana asked the cultist, her voice grim.
Immortality, he quivered. Eternal life, the greatest gift.
Brodar Kane turned to the cultist, blue eyes narrowed in fury.
Ain't no gift worth more than a life of a child, he snarled.
To the nameless, the sacrifice of a child carries more power than anything else, Isaac said. It feeds upon possibility. Nowhere is potential greater than within a child.
The adjudicator's expression grew troubled, as though his own words had just given him pause for thought. The White Lady's handmaiden ghosted over, her shattered arm hanging uselessly at her side. Her gaze fixed on the children. While the others busied themselves helping the prisoners, Cole stared at the unborn. To his utter shock, something wet rolled down the handmaiden's cheek and splashed onto the stone floor. A tear. Jerick's arm was shaking with exertion. The Voronyi began to slip from his grasp.
Spare me, he wailed. I'll repent my sins. I can change, I promise.
The wolf forced the man's head into the boiling water, ignoring his bubbling screams, the terrible smell of cooking flesh.
A promise from a cunt ain't nothing but wasted air, he rasped.
Then he took hold of the rest of the cultist's body and heaved him into the cauldron.
What are we going to do with them?
Sasha asked, nodding at the filthy prisoners huddling around the cages. Isaac fixed them with his immortal gaze.
They cannot come with us, he said regretfully. They would slow us down.
They can't stay here, Kane said. These poor things need taking somewhere safe. Ain't nowhere safe in these lands, save maybe aboard the Seeker.
I will take them there, said the unborn. You,
said Sasha, surprised.
You're the White Lady's eyes and ears. Why involve yourself in the fates of these prisoners?
The unborn did not reply. Instead, the handmaiden began rounding up the prisoners. Just before they departed, the unborn turned back to Sasha.
If Thanates returns, tell him I am waiting for him.
The companions made their descent from the cave along a narrow platform that wound along the side of the ridge. Davaros Cole trudged along at the rear of the group, too ashamed to let anyone see him. Blood covered his leather jerkin, a reminder of the carnage he'd unleashed in the cave. His freshly broken nose was utter agony. Every breath he took brought discomfort. He caught Rana glancing at him and saw her flinch. He'd lost himself again, allowed the Reaver to overwhelm him and seize control. Were it not for Jerick, there was no telling whom he might have killed. Perhaps he would have murdered the sorceress, Brodar Kane, Sasha. His fingers brushed against Magebane's jeweled hilt. It had failed to protect him against the Voronyi. They did not use magic, but rather summoned the spirits of earth, fire, air and water to do their bidding. He wondered if it might have been better if they'd finished him off before the others had intervened. Saved by Isaac, he truly had reached a new low. He heard footsteps beside him and looked up. Brodar Kane had fallen back to walk alongside him.
All right, lad? He asked affably.
Not really.
Kane nodded.
You lost it back there. I've seen warriors on Gyle do the same. Go crazy and start killing comrades until the fire leaves their blood and they're left to ponder what they've done. I reckon you're carrying some kind of curse, All that business with raising the dead?
Cole had been in no mood to talk, but there was something about this old warrior's manner that made him want to open up. "It's the Reaver," he said. "The dead god within me. It urges me to kill, every second of every day. How can I live with that?"
Cain thought for a moment. "You ever killed anyone you regret, that you were certain didn't need killing?"
"I don't think so. I've killed when my life was under threat, but it didn't feel good afterwards."
"It ain't meant to," the old warrior replied. "When it starts to feel good, you know you've crossed a line and you can never come back."
Cole glanced at the barbarian's knee. "Is your leg troubling you?" he asked. The old warrior was limping again.
"Ain't no trouble," Cain replied, suddenly walking a little more stiffly. "You remember when I took your dagger off you for a time? You threw a mighty tantrum, as I recall."
Cole did remember. Brodar Cain had rescued him from a group of Crimson Watchmen and claimed Magebane as his prize. "I wish you'd never returned it to me," he said bitterly. "I hate this bloody weapon. It's the reason for my curse, the reason for everything bad in my life."
"Then why not get rid of it?" Cain asked.
"I can't. Without it, I'm nothing. Just the son of a whore and a murderer."
"No one is ever born just anything. It's what you make of yourself that counts."
"You don't understand," Cole said. "Magebane made me who I am."
"It ain't the weapon that makes the man," Brodar Cain replied easily. "It's the man that makes the weapon."
Cole saw Rana staring in their direction again. The woman's mouth twisted in distaste. Her contempt made Davaris Cole feel 2 feet tall, until he realised it wasn't him her disapproval was aimed at, but rather the man beside him.